So today, we're going to be talking about long COVID. It's Gabe, by the way. All alone. Connor's not with me. He's quarantining at home, awaiting the results of a COVID-19 test. Obviously, we'll be filling you in on that tomorrow, see how he's doing, whether he has the coronavirus. So stick with me on that. But today, the topic is long COVID. One of the scary things about this disease. The infection's gone, and weeks, sometimes months afterwards, the symptoms persist. Fatigue, headache, loss of taste and smell, muscle weakness, these things, they're just not going away. Last week, Connor and I went down to Stuttgart, a city in southern Germany, and we met one of the patients suffering from long COVID.
Science Unscripted.
Also, mein Name ist Eugene, und mein Alter ist 81 Jahre. Und ich hatte Symptome, die dann dazu geführt haben.
My name is Eugene. My age is 81 years. And I had symptoms that led to a diagnosis of COVID-19 on March 31st of this year. It is mid-November now. And the first time I've really felt 100% since it all started was about 3 weeks ago. I've been fatigued, just really tired, like nothing I've ever known, for 7 months. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. It's really not nice.
Das Erlebnis von dem mit dem Befall, das möchte ich niemand wünschen. Das ist also wirklich nicht schön. Da vergisst man die ganze Umwelt. Alles ist auf Notbetrieb eingestellt. Ich habe so gezittert, ich konnte keine volle Tasse halten.
You forget everything around you. You're just trying to survive. I was shaking so badly I could barely hold a coffee cup. Apart from short walks outside, I spent a lot of time at home, on my PC, doing research about the disease. And how many things I've read that just aren't true. You cannot compare this with influenza. Believe me when I say this, I am just downright grateful that everything has, more or less, returned to the way it was before.
So wieder hergestellt ist wie nahezu wie früher. Und von daher, also.
At that clinic in Stuttgart where we met Eugene, there's a specialist who is studying long COVID. And there are so many questions to ask someone like him. Why does this happen? How often does it happen? How long will the symptoms persist? Who gets long COVID? And is there anything that can be done about it?
Science. Unscripted.
So my name is Götz Martin Richter. I'm the medical director of the Department of Diagnostic and Interventional Radiology here in Stuttgart, the Klinikum Stuttgart. And in mid-March, we had already a high number of patients having COVID pneumonia. So I started a study to look at the initial morphologic signs and at the healing pattern over the months after the initial pneumonia.
Of the people who get COVID-19, what percentage of them roughly have long COVID?
It's hard to say because, you know, we are looking at our hospital patients that who were referred initially for the pneumonia. And if I just look at those, I would say one third at least, probably a little bit more, if you look very closely, has other symptoms of fatigue, prolonged fatigue, of minor headache or lack of memory, a lot of subtle symptoms that might last for quite some months, I would say. But it's not in all, but in a high number of patients. One third, perhaps, is a good guess here.
Help me understand what is going on. Are the cells, have they just been attacked so severely that it's taking them a while to get better again? What is going on inside the body?
A simple question, but very difficult to answer, particularly the fatigue symptoms, that they might last for weeks and months without a positive virus test. So it is perhaps a result of the nerve attack, so that the virus really attacked nerves in the brain or in the peripheral nervous system. So this is the real complex situation that we see with this virus.
But why is that? If there's no virus, why are the symptoms still there?
Well, you need to see that the virus has a special attack site, and this is the ACE2 receptor. And if the virus attacks this ACE2 receptor, then the virus causes damages which require long-term healing, particularly if it's in the brain. You know, nerve cells, they don't recover. So once the virus has attacked a fair number of nerve cells, there might be a high chance that there's a long-lasting defect. So it's more like a reorganization of the nerval cells in the brain that will have a healing chance. In the lungs, it's different because the lung cells, they might recover by just a replication of new cells. It's not so in the brain. So that's why you see those very difficult long-term fatigue patterns in these patients.
Just for our listeners to be clear, if somebody is suffering long COVID symptoms, they have fatigue, they're still dizzy, they're still short of breath, but it's like 6 months after they had the initial infection, right. It's probably safe to say that they are no longer infectious. You can talk to them, you can interact with them.
Absolutely so, yes. They are not infectious because these are the consequences of the virus attack. So this is not a momentarily active infection.
Dr. Richter, just a few days ago, I visited a colleague of mine from Deutsche Welle. Yeah. She's infected with COVID-19 right now. And she asked me to ask you. She said she's 1 week into it. She has labored breathing. She feels terrible. She said her spine is hurting. Yeah. And she's scared. She wants to know how long it's going to last. And I said, well, usually, I don't know, 2 to 3 weeks, 4 weeks maybe. But then I started thinking about long COVID. And my question for you is, she's in her mid-30s. Do young people tend to get long COVID? Or is it more something that affects the elderly, people who might already have underlying symptoms? Who gets long COVID?
Well, there's a chance that even young people get long COVID. We saw patients, young patients at the age of 30 or 40 who had long COVID symptoms. However, the majority of patients with long COVID disease are older than 60, having or are obese. So there's a pattern you could describe of patients who might have COVID longer than others. And perhaps this is related to the effectivity of the immune system of the given person. So perhaps a younger person has a more active or a immune system that is better suited to fight against the virus. So perhaps that's the correct answer here.
The patient that we were just speaking with is suffering. And from what Rachel was saying, the colleague, she sent a text message. She was already asking, when are these symptoms going to go away? For somebody who is dealing with this stuff for weeks and even months, what can be done?
Oh.
Anything be done?
We are not in a position to really safely answer this question. You know, all the drugs that we have at the moment, like dexamethasone and remdesivir, they are meant to kill the virus or help the immune system to fight against the virus, basically. So it's not like something that helps the heart to recover or the nervous system to recover. So the only drugs that we have at the moment is really when the body is heavily infected to help the body to recover faster. But those subtle symptoms, particularly fighting against the fatigue syndrome, at the moment I cannot recall any drug that would help. Apart from, you know, living healthy and going out and take a deep breath when you take breath, fresh air or so on. So basically doing sports as much as you can and, you know, do all those things that help your immune system to improve inside your body. That is the only thing I can tell you what would be helpful here.
And that was Gertz Richter talking to Connor and me in Stuttgart about the lingering impact of a COVID-19 infection and what can be done about it. So that's it for today, and we'll be sure tomorrow again to fill you in on how Connor's doing and whether he has COVID-19. Fingers crossed on that one, buddy. As always, if you've got anything to say, please do not be shy. SU@dw.com.
Science Unscripted.